Radio Boston, I'm Callum Borchers, and we begin today with abrupt news from the MBTA. General Manager Luis Ramirez is stepping down. In fact, he's already left the job, though he reportedly attended a holiday party for T employees just this weekend. Ramirez spent only 15 months as the general manager, and his departure marks the fifth leadership change for the MBTA under Governor Charlie Baker's administration. For more on this developing story, we're joined by Richard Davey, who has been the MBTA's general manager. He served in the Deval Patrick administration, where he also was transportation secretary. He's now an associate director at Boston Consulting Group. Rich, thanks for joining Radio Boston.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So Ramirez, as we noted, was Governor Baker's fifth GM. He's the seventh the MBTA has had since 2011, if you include acting and interim GMs. So what's going on here? Why has there been such a struggle to find long-term leadership for this post?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, look, I used to joke that it has to be among the most stressful jobs in Boston, maybe topped only by the Red Sox general manager. With that said, it's not, I think, necessarily a challenging in a transit environment. There is turnover, but look, as the governor's Blue Ribbon Commission reported just after that major snowstorm in 2015, stability really has been one of the major challenges to keep the T on track. I think it's going to be incumbent upon the board and the secretary to really find that person who can bridge a, 3 to 5 year, gap, if you will, and really keep the T moving in the right direction.
The official statements from the governor and the T were pretty rosy. How would you evaluate Ramirez's very short tenure as GM?
I think 15 months, it's incredibly hard to accomplish anything as key general manager. Obviously, they've got the new vehicles coming and they're making the right capital investments. I also think, too, for my tenure, the job is very different now. The secretary is more active. The board is meeting now on a weekly basis. And the board now has, two former general managers sitting on the board. So, the continuity in place should be helpful. But I always see the job now as not just the GM, but a whole number of folks that are really directing the agency's direction, if you will.
One of the other changes to the position since you left, Rich, is the salary. Ramirez's base salary was $320,000, which was about an 80% increase compared to his predecessors. And state officials explained at the time that Ramirez could have been making more in the private sector. Do you think that that increase was part of an effort to retain a consistent GM? If so, it didn't work. So what should we expect going forward? Can the T compete with lucrative private sector jobs for quality leadership?
Yeah, no, I think the answer is yes. You see, look around the country and a couple come to mind, Washington and Los Angeles, for example. New York just recruited a really top-notch CEO from Toronto. And that salary, I think, is about right. But you're right. Candidly, the kind of folks you're looking for are those who can make more in the private sector. But I think it's probably an appeal to folks who can, give up some of that salary to jump into public service. So I think that's the kind of mix that will happen and probably will require, in particular, the governor personally and the secretary to recruit the kind of right person. Does that make sense?
It does. And so for the person recruited for the job right now is Steve Poftak, who's someone who has been on the board for a long time. In fact, he overlapped with you, Rich, if I'm not mistaken. So what can you tell us about him and what are the challenges he's going to face as he steps into the role?
Yeah, so Steve did not overlap with me, but I know him well. He's a great, I would say, policy mind for sure, someone who, when I was secretary, would look to for advice. I think that's the good news. It's not a job which, requires, I think, a sole and uniform perspective. And, you can really rely on a number of folks in the area, business, academics and others, folks who have sat in the chair for advice and counsel. I always felt that when I was general manager, a lot of people were rooting for me to succeed. And I would assume the same with Steve, but he clearly has his hands full. The good news for Steve is, but he's been on the board now for the better part of, 3-4 years. So he'll know the details and the nuances of what needs to get done. But obviously being in the seat and being in the board is different. So managing the people, not only the policy is going to be something he'll have to focus on as well.
And he knows that he's inheriting the job right as we are entering the winter season. I imagine that's going to be one of the big challenges, too. What do you make of the timing of that? And to some degree, is it an impossible task when you step in right at this moment?
Well, look, I mean, you know, the T is operations team, many of whom I worked with and know very well. I mean, they're a solid group of individuals. They've been preparing for winter for months. And if they haven't, you know, if the GM is stepping in December without any preparation, then the T would be in deep trouble. I'm quite sure that they haven't, that they've been preparing this past summer for this coming winter. But of course, you know, the best laid plans for winter don't necessarily mean you pull those off. So having, you know, a steady hand, both in the GM position and the deputy GM, and again, a seasoned board, should, you know, bode well, I would expect, even if the winter was difficult.
You know, I mentioned the winter season in part because it was a source of tension between Ramirez and T. Riders. I mean, last winter, he really bristled when he got a lot of complaints on social media from riders. And he said, look, you know, these are Siberian temperatures. No infrastructure is built to sustain this. Was sort of venting. And he, in fact, blocked some reporters on Twitter at the time. So, you know, how important is just a certain temperament to doing this job? Because it can be frustrating. And you do have to deal with complaints, right?
Of course. I always made the joke that when I became general manager, my parents bought me a clock from my office, which said, you're only as good as your last rush hour. And if my parents were judging me twice a day, you can imagine how often the public was, right? So you're right. You know, he may have been right that there was only so much that the T could do, but that's not helpful for riders. You need to sympathize. You need to get out and talk to folks. And more importantly, listen and explain, you know, what you're doing to address the situation. And look, I expect, again, with a seasoned management team in place, and if there are difficult days, and I'm sure they will be, there always are, when it comes to transportation in winter, you know, as long as the customer knew that you were, you know, making every effort to improve their commute and explaining to them what you were doing and when things would improve, it was a far more forgiving and understanding commuter population than if you did otherwise.
So beyond that, I mean, beyond being an understanding ear, having that kind of outreach to riders, I mean, what should the T be looking for in the next GM? Is it someone who can lobby for more funding? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, it has to be a mix. I mean, it's got to be someone who's got the day-to-day moxie to continue to push for the day-to-day improvements, right, while also understanding the long term. So it's not only someone who can, you know, pull off perhaps the most ambitious capital program in the MBTA's history, implementing new Red Line and Orange Line cars, power systems, seeing that the Green Line extension is, you know, maintains its, but then also think about the future of transportation, right? I mean, I think certainly the T and many other transit systems have seen a drop in ridership, and in part that's because the business model that's been in place for the last, you know, eight decades is really changing. And so having someone who not only can run the day-to-day, but really think about the future, I think that will be of critical importance for the next GM.
I see. So aside from that, it's an easy job.
Aside from that, Alex Cora has the most difficult job in Boston. But since he won the World Series, it might be the GM having the toughest job now.
Yeah, Cora's got the hot hand. We should maybe just hire him for everything. That's Rich Davey. He's a former general manager of the MBTA and a former secretary of transportation. Rich, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
One other note, Radio Boston did extensive reporting on Ramirez's background when he was chosen in August of 2017. He was presented by state officials as a turnaround specialist, but as Radio Boston uncovered, there were significant questions about his role at his previous employer, Global Power. The company admitted to serious accounting errors over 3 years while Ramirez was the CEO, and you can find a link to that reporting on our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.